Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, dear listener. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news, but mostly general tomfoolery. This is episode 10 of our 2024 season. Hello, everyone. It's US week, of course, so you hear myself, Mr. Ben Williams. Mr. Louis Satterley cannot join us this week because he's already partying in Sebring.
I find that to be unfair. Yes. I want to be partying in Sebring.
Yes. As we've discussed in the show, Mr. Taylor Burris, thank you for joining me. And
of
not
course.
Going to go party. Louis is very much in that crowd of people that they go to Sebring to party and a race just kind of happens to happen while they're partying. I've tried to get Louis to tell stories from the Sebring Sebring party, but some of them he literally can't tell because they're not safe for the internet. So
well, let's just say this, that they would be safe for the final episode of the Simcast. Let's just say that for everyone who wants to hear these stories.
Yes. Hopefully that's not going to happen for
No, hopefully it doesn't while. Happen. At least another 10, 15 years, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Be the longest running sim podcasting show in all of sim racing.
All we know is that Louis sent us this message this morning. I have a lovely hangover in a super buzzy MX5 cup alarm clock. Feeling great. Lol.
Lol indeed.
So, Taylor, how are you? Are you hungover and being woken up by MX5 cup cars?
Not hungover, so that's a positive.
So you're
I don't
being
have...
woken up by MX5 cup cars?
No, not being woken up by MX5 cup cars at the moment, unfortunately. Maybe in the future, Mm-hmm. But right now, just been trying to get over a little bit of a cold, thanks to people, let's just say.
Yeah.
And other than that, kicking off my new broadcasting roles over at RaceOn, which is a Texas-based company that covers all the local short tracks and dirt racing across the state of Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, etc. So really good times with that. Hopefully the rain stays away so we can put on some good shows this weekend here in Texas. And if you want to keep up with more, just follow us on RaceOn on all our social media. I know, shameless plug, but great with that. And then I'll be back at it.
We're allowed to do that here. You're allowed to shameless plug on this program.
Exactly. But I'll be back with kartings for the next round of TSRS next week. So when the UK comes to town to talk about all things sim racing and dog shows, they will be...
And star dates.
Yes, it will be the TSRS second round of the season over in New Canney, Texas. So I'll be heading out that way next week.
Yes. I believe I am still several months away. Well, hold on. I actually have pulled up.
Several? Are you going to the Watkins Glen?
Well, I am, but I'm looking to see when dirt racing returns to PA. Doesn't look like World of Outlaws is going to be here until May.
Well, they are down here in Texas. They were in Kendale not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And then I will be over at the 105 Speedway this, well, the wonders of broadcasting production. I will be producing from my own home while covering the event that at 105 Speedway, which is located in Cleveland, Texas, before driving about 30 minutes where I live to the Cotton Bowl Speedway, which is a nice home of some former World of Outlaws events.
So it turns out that Williams Grove, which is my local dirt track, has racing this weekend.
There you go. Is it the season opener?
Yeah, opening day, 410 Sprints and Wingless Sportsmen's.
Well, I think I know what you should be doing.
Well, I'm sorry, dirt racing, but I'm going to be watching Sebring instead. Sports cars is my first love.
I know sports cars is your first love, but you can't go wrong with being in person. at Williams Grove.
Yes, and there will be plenty of opportunities for me to do that the rest of the year.
Okay, I expect one Williams Grove report from you this year. If not, we gonna have to have a talk.
Okay.
Anywho, let's get into our turn of our thoughts about the iRacing updates.
Yes. Being the two people on this program that are the most focused on iRacing, and unfortunately, when iRacing does their largest updates in the past 3 years, and we're not on the program, we were kind of disappointed about that.
Very disappointed. But you know what? It's okay, because that just gives us time to test out all the good stuff and give a proper review on it.
Yes. So, for those who did not listen to last week's episode and have not been paying attention, iRacing has released a ginormous update that we covered what was going to be in the update a couple episodes ago. So be sure to go back and listen to that. It was episode 6, if I'm remembering correctly. Might have been episode 8 now that I'm thinking about it, but
it's one of those two.
It's one of those two. Regardless.
If you hear me, Ben, or Lewis talking, you know it's the right one.
Yes. So in that massive update, was iRacing releasing their Tempest system, or their, that's what it's being called in development, but it's their dynamic weather system. Also some new cars, some new tracks that were also added to it. And it has been out into the world for the first week, and the reactions have been pretty hilarious, if you want my opinion.
Well, let's give your opinion on what are your thoughts so far of the new weather update.
My thoughts echo those of many other people's who have shared their thoughts. The rain is the scariest thing I've done at sim racing, but it's also the funnest thing I've done at sim racing.
I have to agree. I took a my first run was in a Porsche 963 GTP car at Daytona. And I put it not on the heaviest setting of rain, but just around the middle. Mm-hmm. So that way I can kind of get an idea. I realize I need to now set a button for my windshield wiper.
Yep.
So that's important.
I believe there is an automatic setting just to have it turned on.
There is.
Yeah.
Puddles are not your friend, period.
No. Puddles are not your friend.
No, that is a terrible idea.
Have you experienced your wheel going completely soft in the middle of a corner?
I experienced my wheel going soft. I experienced my wheel nearly jerking out of my hands. I mean, I've experienced a lot of different things with this update. And all I got to say is, since one of the series that I do plan on running this year is with the Toyota GR86, I'm petrified of rain. Like, I was so looking forward to it. Like, I'm ready. I'm excited. This is going to be what they call the great equalizer for rain. It's just going to be pure chaos.
Yeah. Well, if an e-NASCAR champion can struggle with rain at Daytona, what we saw Casey Kerwin did during the iRacing stream earlier this week, if you're listening to this live today, when we're recording, it's very obvious that rain is not easy. And that's putting it mildly. My first experience with it was I decided to set up a test to see what the transition from dry to wet was like. Driving the Mercedes GT3 that I'm going to be driving at Sebring next week for the iRacing Sebring, which, you know, if you haven't figured it out by now, you might want to learn how to do rain racing for Sebring, because it's going to happen. Just saying that now.
It will. I mean, I'm going to laugh if it goes the entire race dry, and then the final hour to 30 minutes, it just downpours. Like, I have a feeling that's, ooh. I mean,
racing in the dark in the rain, I might need to try that out.
No, you know what's going to be worse is Nürburgring, the 24.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be
Nürburgring. I was already kind of scared of Nürburgring on iRacing. Now I'm petrified of it.
Well, they don't call it hell for nothing.
Yeah. That track has that nickname for a reason.
Exactly.
No, but just feeling the grip change from lap to lap, feeling that you really do have to break off of the rubbered in line, just having to like hunt around the track just to find some level of grip is just so amazing. I'm struggling to find the words to describe how much fun it was for me. I am not someone who you would say is consistent in iRacing. I have been known to, you know, click off like five laps within 0.2. And that's pretty good for me. I'm not Max Verstappen level where it's like within 0.01 every single lap. And it's just kind of disgustingly consistent.
Ben, let's be honest. No one is Max Verstappen except
Max Verstappen. No one is Max Verstappen except Max Verstappen. Yeah, that's a good point. But still, I like to kind of try to feel around the course, just the track, because it's ever-changing, to find where that grip is. It engages my brain in a very fun way for me. I know that it's not the same how everyone else feels. It's just fun for me.
I do got to say, I do have to give a round of applause to all the people who are coming up with some incredible ideas of how to incorporate rain racing. Mm-hmm. I've seen people utilize the Toyota GR86 on tracks such as the Slinger Speedway configuration and talk about the biggest laugh you'll ever have. Go watch any of those streams or videos and you will just see the pure and utter chaos happening. And there's a lot of people who are utilizing the cars that have the wet weather system mm-hmm. on ovals, and it puts on some pretty decent racing, I have to say.
Yeah, the GR86 on an oval would be as much fun, if not more fun, than MX-5 on an oval. Just saying.
Yes. I mean, hashtag soon, maybe?
Yes, hopefully. TM. Soon TM. Yeah. And also, just because we mentioned this part yet, the spray that you get while racing in the rain, how you literally cannot see anything.
No. And I mean, they're still updating to where the brake lights on the cars ahead of you will be more brighter for you coming up. So that's important. And you know what? I honestly can say, and we know this is not going to happen anytime soon. We know iRacing is going to continue with new content, new updates as we progress throughout the 2024 year. But if you think about it, you know, there is significant years in the world of iRacing, if you can think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get the first world championships back in the early days of iRacing, when NASCAR signed on as the official esports for iRacing back in the early 2010s, mm-hmm. 2020 as a big year with, unfortunately, COVID happened, but
yeah.
All the esports, you know, came in aboard. 2023, when we got all the GTP cars. I think this year, now that we have rain, you're looking at now probably the biggest year that iRacing will have, except maybe when we get to single-player career mode next year in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Let's also not forget about the UI change that they
exactly.
teased during the last developer update. That's going to be a huge change as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at some of the biggest updates that iRacing has yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
not
just
to mention the oval revamp and the dirt oval revamp. If you want an example of how to run a live service for sim racing, iRacing is the gold standard.
Yes, it is.
And
I mean,
there are many other titles who have decided to go down this route,
but have failed.
That need to take more notes and watch what iRacing is doing.
Yeah, but the thing is, by the time they've already caught up to what the current standard is of iRacing, iRacing mm-hmm. has taken it to another level.
Yeah.
So they're always going to be one or two steps behind because of this. And I know everyone for years was giving grief about, oh, iRacing needs rain. Well,
it's here.
It's here. It's finally here. And it is spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, you have professional drivers, you know, saying that it is as real as it is racing in the rain in the real life. That's practically amazing and scary at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a game changer, and if this doesn't win iRacing some kind of award here in 2024, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
So, but we also got some new cars that were released in this recent update as well, and some new tracks, so let's go into them.
Yes. So the first one I specifically want to talk about is the SRX, which I saw a joke online how the SRX is technically a legacy car now, which is funny. SRX, we will miss you.
You know
but
what?
I
gotta say, it's sad that we no longer have this series anymore, but it's cool that we have it saved now on iRacing. Think about it. You know, we have several tracks that are closed and shut down. Myrtle Beach Speedway, Auto Club Speedway, O-Ran Park, you know, the Pukekohe track in New Zealand for the V8 Supercars. Those are all scanned on iRacing now and saved forever.
Yeah. North Wilkesboro used to be on that list.
Yeah, it was until, thanks to iRacing, it was revamped and brought back to life.
Yep. Speaking of which, did you see the footage of, I think it was Byron. Yeah, it was Byron because it's the 24 car, running laps on the new paved surface.
It's going to be fast. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be so fast.
as long as the package works with the new short track package there. I mean, we saw a little bit of that at Phoenix this past week. It's got some pros. It's got some cons. There's some things that NASCAR needs to work on, but it's looking pretty positive. I think it's a step in the right direction.
All the horsepower, please and thank you.
Yes, all the horsepower and all the tire wear.
Yes. Anyway, but I had the opportunity to drive the SRX, getting us back to sim racing. See, we do occasionally go off topic here.
A little, but you know what? At least we keep it in the racing world.
Yeah. I took the opportunity to drive the SRX car at South Boston Speedway, at Eldora, and Watkins Glen. So basically the three types of racing that you're going to end up doing with that car, and I had a blast for all three of them. On Sobo, it felt perfect. It's the perfect short track car. I wasn't struggling at all with it. It was just doing exactly what I wanted it to do. The track that I was the track state at Eldora that I had when I was driving this car, and I need to go back and do it again. The track was drying out, so I didn't have a really great track surface. But you can hang this car up very easily. Riding the high line is going to be so easy with this car. And Watkins Glen was such a blast because the brakes are a suggestion on this car on a road course. I was braking at the 300 feet further back than my usual braking point for a GT car. You had to lift when you were going up the S's. But the car was so still controllable. You, this might change in the future. You don't have to heel toe shift this car on a road course. You can just push the clutch in, pull the gear back, and it's just happy as a clam.
I took this
so much fun.
I took this car out on Slinger Speedway, which is a. it was so much fun. I ran a couple of laps around there and just had a ball with how much downforce that the car has, but also how much mechanical grip that this car has. Like, it was phenomenal to drive around here, around the circuit, and really just log some laps. And you have to do a lot to make this car not work the way you want it to. I mean, you have to be very outside of driving the line in order to basically do it, and it'll still drive pretty well for you. And I see a lot of people already forming special leagues events with this car, and I can say this is going to be like the new big time league event series. And it's a car that I'm looking at possibly for hosting some events in the end of 2024, underneath our Grid Vision banner, where we take all of our champions and put them out in a four race event. The only concern is I don't know how well it will do on off-road racing, so might have to do some testing.
I'm pretty sure it's probably going to bottom out over some of the jumps.
Probably, but you know what? We'll figure something out. The other cars, of course, the Micros and Millbridge, fun.
I have not gotten a chance to drive the Micros yet, just because I've been having so much fun with the rain.
Yeah, the Micros, if you get a chance to drive these micro cars, absolutely a ton of blasts to drive. I mean, just learning the track is best to do it at Millbridge. I know they run them at other tracks, of course, on the rookie and, of course, other series, but running it at Millbridge just seems right. I mean, the track is phenomenal, great way to run the track, and of course, just love the car. You got to be careful with the input. It's basically driving a little less horsepower of a midget car, so you got to be careful with your throttle input, because that downforce is not there as much as it is compared to your 305, your 360, or your 410 wing spring cars. So you got to be careful with your inputs on that, but still, great car to drive.
Yeah. The other new car from this past from this past update was Super Formula Lights. I've yet to hear any negative thoughts about the Super Formula Lights, so...
Me either. I mean, yeah. Everyone's saying with the new Super Formula that we got last year, as well as the Super Formula Lights car that we got this year, we, in a sense, have the top four Formula cars now, if you think about it. The Formula 4 car, the Super Formula Light is basically a Formula 3 car, even though iRacing's talking about bringing in a actual F3 car and F2 car possibly in the future, and that Super Formula car is a Formula 2 car as it is, excluding the current wing update that they have. And it's a fun little car to drive. A lot of aero grip on there, you know, being able to hit your marks. You can carry a lot of speed in the corners. I took it out around, I believe, Algrave. I took it around. So really fun car. Great combination. You can run on any track pretty much, and it'll be a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other new track that we got last week that we haven't mentioned yet is Misano. Of course, great historic history. It's a stable of the GT World Challenge Series, GT Racing in general, so I expect there to be all of the GT series on Raya Racing to be there pretty much every season from now until the dawn time.
Pretty much, and it makes you only wonder. I mean, we see what iRacing has to come still, but I'm wondering, what can iRacing do to top this?
They're definitely going to be trying.
Exactly, they are.
Yeah. A couple other things of note. 3D curves have made their way to Fuji and Sebring. Apparently, the corner on the outside of Le Mans is now very dangerous, and you should not be taking it. Good to know.
Very.
Yeah, all the AI are ready for ray racing. They, of course, have super lights as well. They've also been added to the new circuits. Also, Autodrome Internazionale Enzo de Dino Ferrari, which is... track is the real name of that track is escaping me at the moment.
Imola.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as I scroll down, because I don't remember if I actually looked to see what the AI classes were that they took, there's actually two different sections: racing speed, mathematicancy.
Huh?
Level 8. Choose your own racing adventure, downforce, and gear selections. Ankle strength training for maximum throttle control. This is why I don't read these before we start recording, because reading them live is so much fun.
I'm disappointed in one thing, though.
What is that?
They gave the pace car driver a name, and I don't like the name.
I did not see that. What is the name of the pace car driver? Because they have Barney in the stand with the
flag. So Barney. So for Rich, for a while, there was a group of us who called the pace car driver Benny. Benny the pace car driver.
Now, I appreciate this. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, Ben. But here, as a part of the race control, as part of the 2024 Season 2 release, our race control developers put together a special training curriculum designed for iRacing's longtime pace car driver. We felt it was time to impart on him some of the lessons learned from developing so many successful seasons of AI Racing School. As a bonus tidbit, and as a result of the class registration process, we finally learned the name of our longtime mysterious pace car driver, Fred. Yes, so I have tried to start a movement of saying, bring back Benny. So... because yes. I refuse to call him really Fred, even though I have to sometimes. So that's how I feel about this whole situation.
Yes. Also, since we're talking about irate things on track employees, hashtag umbrella for Barney.
Yes. He's getting too wet. He's the hardest working man. At least give him an umbrella when it's raining or a cover over the flag stand.
Yeah. The man's going to call off work because
he's got a cold.
Have a cold. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
How do you expect him to work under these conditions?
Well, they put him to... He's the hardest working man of all of iRacing. He's up there and ever watchful.
Yep. Yeah, so the iRacing update notes have been available this past week. I'm sure everyone has read them by now. A couple other things that I want to mention. First of all, not only as Taylor mentioned earlier, iRacing staff have talked about how they're going to be adjusting the brake lights so they're more visible in the spray, which frankly is a, even though it might not be totally realistic, it's a great quality of life thing for iRacing.
I mean, it would be beneficial because we don't want to be racing in the rain and barreling down into a corner and can't see the car in front of us.
Exactly. Secondly, if you're an avid iRacer, you probably already know this. Particularly if you do the IMSA series during the week. Right now, there's an error within the IMSA series with the Tempest system, which means that every single race at Suzuka this week has the highest setting of rain possible. To hilarious results, I should add.
Pure, utter chaos is all I have to say.
So if you want rain practice, there's where you go do it. Also, there is a patch coming out today if you're listening to this live, tomorrow for Taylor and I right now. As of recording, and I'm just going to check again to make sure that they haven't done a sneaky edit on me. They have not. There's not any real information about what's going to be included in this update on their patch notes on their forums. But if you're an iRacer user and you have not updated your game, probably a good idea to go do so now. Anything else about the update you want to mention, Taylor?
Bring an umbrella, bring a raincoat, and hold on, ladies and gentlemen, because you're in for a ride.
That works for me. All right. So now that we've spent half an hour talking about iRacing, as is tradition on this program, let's talk about some other sim racing news. Starting with Forza Motorsport and their latest updates, Update 6.0. This update, we've kind of have known the biggest part of this update. I've covered this on the program before. This update saw the massive change and or removal of the CarPG system. The system that Turn 10 put in place with this new title, which basically means that Forza, the game that is synonymous with building cars the way you want to, made you have to grind your cars so that you could build it the way you want to. The system has had people who appreciate it, but widely, the system has been panned by the community. Turn 10 has decided that they are going to have all parts unlocked at car level 1. So basically, all the parts are now available. You don't have to grind them to be able to use them. The parts are still purchased with car points, but you can now purchase car points with in-game credits for a ratio of 500 car points to 4,500 credits. And if you do the math, that roughly comes out to be the same cost as former Forza, so you're more familiar with that. The big news in this update is that Daytona Pit Lane, after 6 years of me saying, hey, Turn 10, this is not how this is, you need to fix this, the Daytona Pit Lane has finally been fixed.
Well,
and all it took was John... And all it took was John Heindel shaming them on national and international television for them to fix it.
Well, I mean, that is a way to do it.
That is a way to do it,
All I can say is I hope they feel embarrassed about that.
Just again, and I messaged this to Tim when he asked me during Midweek Motorsports this week what we were talking about on the show this week. Thank you, John. The Forza community is forever in your debt. Yes. So the Daytona pit lane now releases on the inside of turn one like it has in real life for literally decades. You will not be able to control your car until after it is out from behind the pit wall. So you're making sure that you're going to be able to get slowed down going into the International Horseshoe. So it's pretty much how it is in real life. Except for the fact, and I'm not going to begrudge this too much, because this is probably the only way that Forza could get it to work within their system. There is now a massive tire wall that runs from the end of the pit lane the whole way through, and kind of really close to the apex of turn one. But again, if you're turning into turn one that hard, you're going to hit the wall. You're not going to make turn one anyway. So it's just going to have to be something that Forza users are going to have to get used to. And also, if I was going to complain about pit lane walls, so there shouldn't be pit lane walls, I should probably complain about the WEC pits, which has that massive wall that goes the whole way down the back. Why am I forgetting the name of the street? The Almond Street at Sebring?
I believe so. It would be the Almond Street.
Yeah. When the WEC is there, they have that massive pit wall that goes the whole way down that street. So I'm not going to begrudge Forza too much with that. For those who care, new cars that you can expect with this update on the career mode combustion tour, you have the option to unlock a Pagani Sonda Cinque Roadster, which sounds nothing like the Pagani Cinque Roadster.
Oh no.
The open class tour, you have the option of the Ferrari 599XX, or you can go play any of the other Forza games to get the access to that car, because it's squarely been in every Forza game since it came out. The spotlight cars this week, two of them are already in the game. That is, of course, my beloved 69 Charger and the R34 Skyline. But the two other cars that you can also unlock are the Alpha 4C and the Lamborghini Huracan LP 610-4. From both of those are from 2014. Car Pass is far more interesting. First of all, this week, Car Pass owners will gain access to the 1983 Nissan number 23 Nissan Motorsports Super Silk. Excuse me. The number 23 Nissan Motorsports Silvia Super Silhouette. Because who doesn't want more groups? Group 5 cars? Blanked on the name of that category for a second. The 2019 Toyota 86 TRD SE, which as soon as that car becomes available, I want to see how quickly I can build it into the GR86. Here's the big ticket item. On the week after Sebring, come on, Forza. The week after Sebring, Car Pass owners will gain access to the 2020 Lexus number 14 Vasper Sullivan RCF GT3. I can hear Jordan screaming in the background somewhere. Yes. And lastly, the 1986 Lotus number 12 Team Lotus 98T. So, if you or want to try those cars, as I said, this week will be the Super Silhouette. The week after will be the Toyota 86. Vasper Sullivan comes out March 20. The Lexus GT3, I should say, comes out March 27th, and the Classic Lotus comes out on April 3rd. A couple other fixes that were in this update. These are, I read through the patch notes, which on the Forza support site, you get much more information than what they're putting on their public news site. So if you want a lot more detail in your patch notes like I do, this is where you want to go. Again, that's support.forzamotorsports.net. Other fixes, they added multiple lighting options to the livery editor menus to help players see how their designs look in different conditions. Desired lighting effects will be saved upon return. However, whenever they did that, they broke the livery editor, unfortunately, by massively increasing the steps in which shapes and vinyl groups move. Instead of going by 0.5, they'll go by 0.25. Or not 0.25, 2.5. I'll say it right eventually. Apparently, there's a hotfix coming for that, though. However, Forza painters are not happy at the moment. They also fixed an issue with the file size limit for event replays where players were prevented from saving replays, which included a full grid of drivers over longer event sessions. Honestly, the replay system within Forza Motorsport has a lot of issues right now. Well, the game in itself has a lot of issues right now. So, they still have a lot to do, particularly with the replays, since apparently you cannot actually pause a replay. It just plays, no matter what you do. And they are only able to save 11 minutes, from what I understand. I have not attempted to save a replay myself personally, so still a lot to do, Forza. But at least it seems like particularly with Daytona, they're at least willing to change things.
Yep, so I got to give them credit for that. Hopefully they can continue to fix anything that needs to be fixing, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, but still, they had 6 years.
Exactly. Anyway. You had 6 years to get this game out, and yet you dropped the ball.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of developers have had a long time to get a game out, but it's still dropping the ball. Le Mans Ultimate. As we've discussed in this show the last couple weeks, particularly in the US show, Le Mans Ultimate has been putting out quick fixes over the last couple weeks. However, this week saw the first full patch. And wow, there's a lot of things on this list.
Oh, yes. Let's just go over it. I'll take it from here right quick. So, let's go over the general. So, LMDH cars now correctly switch to EV mode at the start of a pit stop. So, that's a positive.
Give me that bump start.
Exactly. We need that bump start. The player is no longer able to use more tires than they have available, so I don't know why that would have been a problem to begin with on the base game.
I believe that was that it in a situation where the racers had a limited amount of tires, they just seemed to have unlimited tires, if that makes sense.
I guess that's how
I read it, at least.
That's what I could gather, too. But still, I mean, if you have it to where you want to have it set limit, you should have thought of that to begin with. Hmm. Then they removed the possibility of getting in a eternal loop of practice results in single player.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. I imagine you trying to just do some practice before the race, and you can't race because you're just looping the practice results over and over and over, and you're just stuck.
Yes.
Not good.
I should note that the things that we will mention here are the ones that I've gone through and kind of cherry-picked out of the patch notes. The patch notes themselves are much, much longer. They're also fully available on Le Mans Ultimate's website, lemansultimate.com. So if you want the full information, go ahead and check it out there.
Yeah.
Other changes that they've made to the UI particularly, they removed non-functional force feedback settings. Okay.
They then added...
It doesn't work, so we're just going to hide it.
Then added virtual fuel and fuel capacities to setup screen.
Why are you just not adding that?
In the beginning.
The
AI now use proper race strategy in race-only SP sessions. So was the other AI drivers not using proper race strategy? Were they just...
Were they going out in qualifying mode? Was it?
I don't know.
I have so many questions.
So do I. Online.
Yeah, online adjustments. Users now are now prevented from driving off during pre-race countdown. I wish I was making that up. This is the winner of the best patch note from all the patch notes that I read for this program, for this particular episode. Fixed sometimes being sent to the wrong event when leaving a practice server.
What?
Imagine, if you will, if something like this on iRacing occurred.
Say you were
driving, I don't know, the Super Formula car around Suzuka, and you get the little pop-up. Your race is now starting. Click here, or pull into the pits and click here to go to your race event. So you did that, click there, and then suddenly you're with Eldora with a NASCAR truck.
I mean, it would be kind of hilarious.
It would be kind of hilarious, and people would riot.
Exactly. Weird numbers in chat near the end of an online race removed. What weird numbers? Is it the Matrix?
I was going to say, is that the source code? Is this the source code leak that we were warned about many years ago when Motorsport Games wasn't paying their employees?
Possibly.
Not that I'm bringing that up.
Someone start this conspiracy theory now. we set the bait. So for all of you in the collective, take it and run.
Don't forget your tinfoil hats.
Yes. Tracks. Fuji Speedway. Improved Mount Fuji material.
So is it suede? Is it like a nice cotton aluminum? Is it granite? Like, what does that mean?
I mean, I would hope it's some form of granite or some form of rock. I'd be concerned if it was, you know, a mountain of pudding or jello.
Wait, I was going to say, was it a marshmallow before? Is that what it
I mean? I don't know.
At Monza, moved pit 5 box, which was an empty garage, to occupied garage. So you would just drive down the pit lane and no one was using pit 5? Is that how this works?
I guess. Why couldn't you use it? I would have just put in there.
Mm-hmm. And at Sebring, removed invisible collision barriers at main pit lane entry and IMSA pit lane entry.
That's important. We can't have anything invisible on the track and hit it.
You can't have, particularly when you're driving into the pits.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, time to pit. Oh, I guess I can't now because there's something there.
And my car's destroyed.
And my car is dead, yes.
For the cars, every GT car now added gear change restrictions. So from going from neutral to reverse cannot be activated above 5 kilometers per hour. While going neutral to first cannot be activated above 80 kilometers per hour.
Why would you want to go to neutral when you're below 80 kilometers an hour to begin with?
Why would you?
I mean, okay. Unless you're saving fuel, fair. But why was
there's
this
other ways
there?
To save fuel?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, shifting into neutral, unless you're in a stock car H pattern, shifting to neutral with paddle shifters, not a good idea to save fuel. Exactly. The Ferrari 49P LMH car had a fixed gap in the center mirror that could be seen on the onboard cameras.
I don't even have a joke for that one. That's so
I don't either.
So obscure.
Then the Glickenhaus fixed 2 objects poking out of the cockpit where visible from external views.
So what you're saying is Glickenhaus had a Mickey Mouse treatment?
Apparently.
Just like 2 antennas.
Hashtag bring back the Glick. Hey, I don't care what people say. That car was a pretty cool car.
I mean, the same things could be said about Tesla. It can be said about Glickenhaus.
No, I rather would
have their creator is a bit of a
showboat.
I was going to use harsher words.
No, we can't use those words, Ben.
Yeah. Glickenhaus is still not really a fan within the sim racing community after the great Twitter incident.
That, as well as his comments about IMSA. So I'm also...
That too, yes. That yes. too.
So I don't care for the owner of the company. I just like the car to a degree. So yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe bring it back as not a Glickenhaus. Maybe convince like Ford to buy them. And then
Ganassi.
Have to come back.
Ganassi yeah. needs a car.
Oh yeah, Ganassi's going to need a car.
Yep.
After Cadillac is... probably going to go back to Winkler because of their Andretti connection?
No, it's going to probably either. It's going to go to ARX next year.
I was going to say, I know ARX has already confirmed a two-car entry for next
yes,
year.
And then probably for WEC, it'll be either TF Sport or United.
Mm-hmm.
Just guessing.
Yeah. However, still, that whole Andretti-Cadillac connection, Andretti-WRT connection, still right there.
Yes, but I think they're
and
not
also
going
it
to
is
Acura.
For Cadillac, that is also the other winningest, even if that's... I think we decided in the motorsport community that's still a word, but it just still seems weird saying it. The other winningest team on in that paddock now... Penske, yeah. Penske's still kind of new to IMSA in my mind, even though they've
been around
came
for
back
years.
To IMSA, left and then came back again since I really started paying attention.
Yeah.
But, one of the other winningest teams has driven the Cadillac platform before is right there already working with you.
I know.
It just makes sense to me.
I know.
And
but...
to many other people who I've seen make the same similar comments.
Well, we'll have to just do the wait and see kind of approach. We're still early in the IMSA season. A lot could still happen between now and 2025.
I was going to say, round two hasn't even happened. That's happening this weekend. So
yes, it is. Why are our friend Lewis is currently still getting, is either getting ready for round two or is still recovering from his hangover from the mm-hmm. night before. My money on he's starting
into,
round two.
We're probably day two into the Sebring Olympics at this point.
Mm-hmm. Will he bring home the gold? Tune in next week to find out. Or 2 weeks from now, I should say, not next week.
2 weeks from now, yeah. Anyway, yeah, so massive update to Le Mans Ultimate. Go ahead and check that out. If you are selecting to, how do I put this? Waste your time with that title? There you go.
There you go. Come over to iRacing. We have milk and cookies.
We can do pretty much the same thing.
But better.
But better. Anyway, moving right along, let's talk about F1 Manager. F1 Manager 23. Hold on a second. Sorry. F1 Manager 23 was really popular when it came out, and as we talked about on this program last year, the popularity slowly teetered off over time. Because, once again, year of releases, if you don't change much, people are not going to care. And they can just update their current game with mods and keep playing and not have to give you $60 every year. This is something Lou and I particularly talked about. And during that program, I also, you know, pontificated and kind of came on the idea on the fly of that F1 Manager 24 should include... create your own team so that you can challenge the F1 field with your own team.
Andretti Cadillac, here we come.
You stole my joke, dang it.
You're welcome. You left the door open, so I had to take it.
Yes. Also, Frontier Digital, where's my money? Because F1 Manager 24 has announced with the big headline that they are going to include create your own team. In the title.
I love this quote. Experience the thrills of an F1 race from a new perspective with improved racing behavior and dynamic new cameras bringing the racing simulation to life.
Thank you, corporate overlords who wrote that for them.
Yes. Goodness.
I want, whenever this game is launched, I want to see a statistic about how many Andretti Cadillac teams have been made within the game.
I will be shocked if nearly half of them are not Andretti F1 or Andretti Cadillac teams.
Yeah.
So, collective, you know what must be done.
You know what has to be done. Execute Order 66. Anyway. The Star Wars fans will
get
that reference.
Yes, I get the reference. Trust me, I'm more of a Star Wars fan than a Trekkie anyway, compared to our good friend Matt over across the pond. But still, I think I would have come up with a better joke.
Thanks, Taylor.
You're welcome.
Unfortunately, that is all we know about F1 Manager 24 right now. We do know it will be launching this summer, and that you can stay tuned for more updates. And if you tune in to the next episode of Frontier Unlocked, which is live on their Twitch and YouTube, 6 p.m. GMT, next Wednesday, to learn more about F1 Manager 2024. Anyway, we only have about 10 more minutes left in tonight's program, so I'm going to kind of gloss over these next two stories because they're not that big. First of all,
big track.
We've talked about how the Norse Life has been planned for ACC for many months now. We had official confirmation of it back in November, but we are never given a release date. Now, following the parent company of Kunos latest financial reports, a company called Digital Bros, which, how did I never know that was the parent company of Kunos? I have so many questions.
Same.
But yeah, following their financial reports, the group's, and this quote has come out of it, the group's release schedule for the second half of this year, fiscal year, includes the launch of the 2024 pack for Assetto Corsa Competizione on April 1st, 2024. The official video game for the Fanatec GT World Challenge Championship will feature the iconic Nürburgring Nordschleife circuit for the first time. So, April 1st. Now, I think it's just a coincidence that they're going to release this on April Fool's Day, but if it wasn't coming from a financial report, I'd be questioning it, but because it's coming from a financial report, I'm more inclined to believe it.
Yeah, compared to if iRacing said, oh, we're releasing something on April 1st. No, don't believe it. You just... The only time I've ever been bamboozled before by iRacing on their April Fool's stuff was when they thought about doing the phone launch for racing on your phone. That was like very early years, and I freaked out, and then I realized that was April Fool's joke.
Yeah. The iRacing, my favorite iRacing April Fool's thing has always been the dirt. When they announced dirt on April Fool's Day, and everyone thought it was a joke, and then they brought it out months later, and the joke was on us.
Joke's on you guys.
Yep. And I remember having to eat crow during an episode of it was the Toro radio show back then. Or it's like, well, this is actually real. I'm glad I was wrong. Anyway. We still have no other confirmation that this will be the release date of the Nordschleife. So be sure to stay tuned for that. This is Kunos we're talking about, so we're going to be hearing something within the next 2 weeks anyway. So this is your, hey, pay attention. This is going to be something that's going to be announced officially soon. Reminder. Also remember that this is a PC release only at this time. They have not mentioned the consoles at all within this press release or with this financial stuff. So consoles, you can probably expect probably the summer. And speaking of the summer, it should still be stated that AC2 is still going to be coming out this summer. So I think officially this will be the last DLC for ACC that we see.
Most likely.
Potentially. Anyway.
Stay tuned for more.
Yeah, just making sure we're going to have enough time to cover everything. Yeah, okay. This is kind of the last story and kind of discussion question that I have to follow up this story. For this week is something that actually occurred a couple weeks ago that I just... It occurred after we were recorded episode 8, so we're covering it now. KT Racing, as in the former developer of WRC games and the current Test Drive Unlimited developer, announced during the Nanacon Connect livestream that they are bringing a new racing title called Endurance Motorsport Series, or as they've been calling it shorthand, EMS. We don't know much about EMS right now. We do know that it will, quote, feature a number of official vehicles and circuits, legendary tracks, hypercars, LMP2, and GTs from major car manufacturers. And as there was a trailer with this announcement, we definitely know that the Porsche 911 992 GT3R and the Porsche 963 will be in this title as they were featured in this trailer. It also, they seem to be teasing that you will be functioning as both a driver and as the team manager, so you will have to make strategy calls on the fly. This is set for a 2025 release date. So, we don't have time to discuss this fully, and this could probably be an episode all on its own. Are we getting to a point where we have too many sports car racing games?
If I may say, I think please, we are ahead. At that point where we are. I mean, if you think about it, we have iRacing that covers all forms of sports car racing, just about. We have R-Factor that covers multiple different disciplines. We have this new game. We have Assetto Corsa Competizione. We have the new Le Mans Ultimate game. I think we're getting to that point where there is too many sports car racing games, and not enough of other forms of racing. Thankfully, iRacing is releasing the new NASCAR game in 2025. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out coming in next year. We also...
I think it's safe to say that it's probably going to be good.
Yes, it is. I have to agree. Codemaster with their Formula One games, of course.
Well, EA.
EA and Codemasters, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cause a stir in those who are in the community. I think the two biggest things now that we really need that sneaks covering is IndyCar, which thankfully iRacing has that back over with the IndyCar licensings, but hopefully a game gets produced for consoles for people to go and have fun with. Whether that will happen or not, yet to be determined, but I think we're at that point.
Potentially, that could be something that you see happening from the current dev team that's working on the NASCAR game. Maybe they'll move them over to an IndyCar game over time. Who's to say that's great or not? But in my opinion, we're getting to a point where art is imitating life in a strange way, where there are so many GT3 racing series around the world that it's... The joke is, oh, look, another GT3 series. You go up to Barack. Yeah. Oh, another GT3 series. We're kind of getting that in a video game, in Sims and video games now.
Yeah, I think we're going too much into the GT3. The only time I'll be okay is if we go maybe back in time. So throw it back to the 80s, 90s. You know,
GTR like revival, in other words.
GTR revivals, basically. That's the only time I would be okay with that, is historical racing, because that needs to be covered. I mean, Forza, I'll give credit, does go into that department a little bit. Before that, Project Cars, iRacing has no plans to do any more historic racing cars, such as the GTPs or GTO cars. Wish that would not be the case. I hope one day we get a call and iRacing says, we scanned the Porsche 962. Since you have the 963, we'll give you the 962, etc. But, you know, that's not going to be the case anytime soon. So that's where I would be okay with sports car racing, per se, is the historical side of it.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe Le Mans Ultimate may do something like that in the future, a quote-unquote Legends pack.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I think because as we've, that has been established many times just in the general zeitgeist of the internet, but also on this network, we are now in another golden age of sports car racing. So it kind of makes sense that we have so many sim titles and games devoted to that. And I think that potentially, and this was not the case 4 years ago, that the market is now big enough where it can support all of these titles. And by support, I mean iRacing is still going to be the most popular, and you'll have a smattering of devoted fan bases for all the others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
but even though I brought this question up, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a sign of this, you know, now very much in another golden era of sports car racing. And frankly, I'm here for it.
Just don't want to oversaturate it.
Oversaturate it yet, but still, I think it would be more difficult to oversaturate it than it would have been before 2020, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, the dying moments of tonight's program, because we are literally going over time as I speak, it's time for a very quick eNASCAR update from Taylor. And I do want to mention this one because it was pretty special.
It really was. I mean, last night, on Tuesday night, the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series headed off to Atlanta Motor Speedway, the second of the drafting tracks that are on the schedule as they work their way around the circuit and get themselves situated. But it was Malik Ray who took home the checkered flag in one of the closest finishes in all of the business of eNASCAR competition, as he was able to hold off a hard-charging drivers such as Colin Bowden and Derek Bordeaux, who was able to round out your top three. Let's just say this. It was under 0.02 of a second between your top two and about 0.4 of a second between your top three.
Hmm. So, wasn't the last round really close as well?
It was. So we've been having some really close racing the past couple of weeks. But with that, Malik Ray, after 92 starts in his career in the eNASCAR series, finally gets his first career win.
Yeah. Congratulations, Malik. Heck of a way to do it.
Exactly. Heck of a way to get your first career win, I have to say.
Yes. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Simcast. Taylor, any final words of wisdom?
The only thing I can say to you, Ben, is for me and you of course, we're recording on Wednesday night immediately after this. We got to go put on our best suits because we have a date with the lady in black over at Darlington.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So we are literally leaving this recording booth and stepping into another recording booth to go through that. So thank you for joining me as always, Taylor. Lewis, if you are listening, please drink some water.
And eat more tacos.
And eat more tacos, yes. Everyone else who's partying at Sebring, please stay safe. And everyone else listening at home or from wherever you're listening from, thank you for tuning in. Stay safe out there. And bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.